Well, thank you. It's good to be here this morning. Always good to be with you, and I'm glad we're honorary members. I said like to be honorary members with voting rights so we can vote. Just kidding. But it's always good to be with you. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. I was lost in sin with no hope of finding heaven, aimlessly wandering, broken and blind. Then I knelt at His feet and I stood up forgiven because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called His name, sweet mercy came running down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Now, friend, don't be fooled by the voice of the deceiver. He'll say, just believe in something and you're fine. But God says those that trust in Christ are the only true believers. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called His name, sweet mercy came running down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called His name, sweet mercy came running down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Yeah, because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Thank you, thank you. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Young man, he's not so young no more. We used to be. Young man lives in Nashville. He writes a lot of songs. And I was acquainted with him years ago. He wrote that song. He writes a lot of good ones, too. The sweetest words. Let me get my glasses on. I'm at that age. I said years ago, I'm not going to wear reading glasses. But look here, I got them on now. The sweetest word. This old song goes way back, and we'll sing this for you. Start that again. Like the woman brought to Jesus who was taken in her sin, I was so ashamed of what I'd done, where I had been. Well, justice asked for payment, it was more than I could give. But mercy smiled upon me, saying, I forgive. The sweetest words He ever said were, I forgive. That sentence then was wiped away. I could live. Well, I like the part where He told about a mansion He would give. But the sweetest words He ever said were, I forgive. Now if you're tired of living with the wrong that you have done, come on home to Jesus, you know He's a cleansing one. In His arms He'll hold you, you've just began to live. When you hear Him gently whisper, I forgive. The sweetest words He ever said were, I forgive. Dead sinners then was wiped away. I could live. Well, I like the part where he told about a mention he would give. But the sweetest words he ever said were, I forgive. The sweetest words he ever said were, I forgive. Destiny's sin was wiped away. I could live. Well, I like the part where he told about a mention he would give. But the sweetest words he ever said were, I forgive. The sweetest words he ever said were, I forgive.
It's a great feeling to be forgiven, isn't it? It's a great feeling. It's a great thing to know the Lord Jesus, and it's a privilege that we have every Sunday that we can come and go to church and worship together, worship Him freely. It's a privilege, isn't it? And the world that just don't know Jesus, they just missing out. There's just nothing else to say that they're just missing out. He's offered us so many promises, so many blessings, so many benefits to knowing the Lord. And I don't want to know Him because of the benefits. I know Him because He loves me, and He reached down and through His Holy Spirit convicted me many years ago to come to know Him as my personal Savior, and that's something I'm very thankful for this morning. We'll do to the table this morning.
Yeah, got one sheet missing.
Okay, he's looking for words. We got so many words up here, and you can't read my writing after I wrote it.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a two-page song.
Yeah. Yeah. I write it extra large, too, so it does take up two pages.
Yeah. Let's see if we can do it. Voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. But there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? There's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you accepted as you are, and bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it on to the table. Bring it on. You can bring it home. Come on.
There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come on in and find your grace. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it on to the table. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it on to the table. Bring it on to the table. Bring it on to the table.
Well, I've laid it out many times, have you? I hope you have, because he's ready to listen to what we have and what we're going through, and he really is. And as we get through life, all of us here have been around long enough, we've had trials, haven't we? And we've had things that, oh me, just sort of knocks you off your feet sometimes. But just lay it out on the table, and, you know, he gives peace, and he gets us through it every time. I have found that to be true. Well, we wasn't with you Easter, and so we got an Easter song. We're going, hopefully I can remember how to do it this morning. Did you rise again? Are we good?
Okay.
Say a word right quick.
Okay. Well, missing Wes today, but we're glad to have you with us today. Looking forward to you. I thank the Lord for saving me and for all he's done. He's been a good Lord to me. I really appreciate it. Appreciate Bobby. Enjoy singing, praising the Lord. And that's all I got to say.
Well, that was enough. I was cutting you short, but sometimes it's all we got to do is just thank the Lord and praise him. And he knows our heart, doesn't he?
He sure does.
I'm not bossy when I told him to say a word. I was just needing some water. Trust me, I'm not bossy.
I'm used to it.
Oh, man, let's see what we do then. See if I can get through the time. Drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't true. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. For you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground.
dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I am the one, 'cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come. To take my people back.
You about do a guitar song, I can?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to switch over and do a couple with the guitars this morning.
Try to distract them.
Beautiful weather. Pollen's flying, but it's beautiful weather, right? Great weather out there. I like going in the house after you mow with yellow clothes, right? Yellow shoes.
My wife loves it.
Yeah, his wife loves it. He gets the lawnmower started for her, and she does all the mowing.
I made fun of her mowing years ago, and that wrapped up that mowing. I made a mistake, but anyway.
Which one do you want to do? Let's do that. I like your Beulah Lane.
All right, let's do that. We're like getting close to. Put new strings on last night, so they. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday across that river to where my fate will end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, then I'll take someday. lost my man wherever he went. I can't see. Anyway, brother, I'll turn it over to you this morning. And
thank you so much for Springs. I think I've got this thing turned on. Verse, Jeremiah 29:11, that you've prayed. All right, I don't move around a lot anyway. But I'm so thankful to be here, and I hope you're thankful to be in the house of God today as well. Scripture is taken this morning from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 11, verses 1 through 14, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, if you're able, to please stand for the reading of God's word. Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 14. Bobby said he had to put his glasses on to read. I've got the opposite problem. I have to take mine off to read. So, this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, to the priests and the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother and the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem and the craftsmen and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not increase. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you to the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Thank you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Father, what a blessing it is to be in your house today. So many months and weeks and over a year being out of this place. And we pray, Father, for your blessings upon us, blessings upon those who couldn't be here, that for safety reasons still can't come into the house of God, but know that the church is your people. And so we pray today and ask your blessings upon us as we understand your word. And we pray for Pastor Wes as he's out of town, Lord, and doing ministry in many different places. And so, Lord, we pray and ask your blessings upon us as we worship today. In Christ's name we pray. We pray your guidance from your Holy Spirit. Amen. My wife and I did youth ministry for about 20 years in two different churches, and one in Siler City and one here in Lee County at Cool Springs, where I'm now associate pastor. Over the years, we would go to retreats and week-long events and that kind of thing. And very often, this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, was the encouraging word for our young people. I think it was probably the most quoted of or the most used verse in all of those seminars and weekend retreats and events for youth. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And they would use this as sort of a tidbit that as you're going off into wherever you're going, college or in the military or starting a new career or moving off to a new place, that God's going to prosper you and give you all these wonderful things. And this is a great understanding and what we want to feel like God is in control of every aspect of us as individuals, we need to go back and look at what God is really saying in Jeremiah 29:11. Because we need to understand it's not in the midst of excitement of youth or in the midst of the excitement of the event that's happening in your life, but in the grand picture of what God is doing in the heart of His people and in the church. In Jeremiah 29, we need to be reminded and reflect on one simple fact, and that's that the people of Israel are actually in captivity in Babylon under the suffering and judgment of God Almighty. So before we look at this as sort of this feel-good prosperity, God's going to fix all your problems kind of idea, we need to look and say, I want to be a part of the plan, even when it's in the judgment of God Himself. I want to be corrected and refined to be and live and work and flourish in the kingdom of God. In Jeremiah 29:11, if you look at the first part, it says, "This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests and prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah, Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the artisans had gone into exile into Jerusalem. All the people that make society really function in its totality, the talented, the gifted people, the people that make and function in society and make it work are being carried and have been carried far away from the home place of Jerusalem, the promised city of David. And now, in God's judgment, they are in exile. We need to remember this in the history of the Jews. The Jewish people, God called, remember, Abraham, and He said, "Look, I want to tell you something. You're going to be a blessed people. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you, bless those who bless you. And out of you, all the nations of the world will be blessed." And He led them into the promised land under a man by the name of Joshua. And Joshua led the battles that put them in this place. And God dispelled the ungodly that were living there in their filth and greed and terrible, awful things that they were doing. And God told them, He said, "Look, if you get into the way that they're acting, I'll do the same thing to you. My judgment will come also on you." And Joshua, in his famous speech at the end of the book of Joshua, we see the 12 tribes are all located in these places, and God is bringing prosperity and flourishing the kingdom of Israel there in the land. And Joshua says, "Don't forget, remember, you can make a choice today." He said, "You can serve the gods of Egypt that I brought you out of, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the guys that were here before God brought us to this land. Or you can serve the living, one true God." And he said the famous phrase, "As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." It's this people that came and then they began over generations to forget what God has done for them. And we in the kingdom of God can do the same thing and begin to adopt the ways of the world and go into the filth and the greed and the lust and the depravity of the world. And that's what had happened to the Jewish people. And it is in the midst of this that God brings them to Babylon in punishment and judgment for the way that they had lived their lives. When people look at Jeremiah 29:11, they sometimes try to make this prosperity idea, this idea of God's going to fix all your problems even in while you're living and going on with the filth. But we need to understand that you cannot believe your way out of something you've behaved your way into. That if I believe hard enough, I can keep living like the devil. And that's what he is saying to them as they're in this place in Babylon. You're here for a reason, and I have a long-term plan for you as a people. That's what he's telling them. Not that suddenly everything's going to be fixed. I have a long-term plan for you, my people. And he goes on, this is a letter that Jeremiah has submitted, that God, the Holy Spirit, has inspired him to write to the people of Israel. And he says it to every generation of his people, that we need to, what we need to be about in the midst of difficulties. We're in the middle of what is called a pandemic. We're in the middle of difficulties ourselves. What and how should we live? And how can the church shine the glory of Christ in the middle of a world that's full of despair and uncertainty of what is going to happen next? We say we want to get back to normal, but and then some people say there'll be a new normal and all of these different things. What we need to look for is where God has us and the place he has for us in the middle of difficulties, where many people are wandering in despair and uncertainty and hopelessness. We have the hope of Christ. In verse 4, the first thing he says to them, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those who are carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 5 and 6 tell us the first thing he tells us to do. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters into marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. The first thing he tells them is live your lives. Go about and do the business. Don't stop living and pretend like everything is just so in despair and hopelessness that you can't do anything. That's not a godly response to the problem. Build houses, plant your gardens, prepare. This is where you are. And so we need to understand from the complexity of that is the past is gone. Live now. The scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions." It's easy for us to get into a nostalgic idea of the old-time religion, and there's nothing wrong with the old-time religion or the old-time ways, but we need to live in today if we're expecting to have an influence and an impact on the world for Christ. We need to live in the day. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, the prophet says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. You do not perceive it. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Yes, there are some things that distress us that have changed from the past. But thinking and distressing and being depressed over those things doesn't change. He says, "I want to be a spring in the desert. I want to be the water, the source of life in the midst of death." And that's what the church needs to be. He says, build your houses, plant your gardens, have children, have grandchildren. Remember the past, we can learn from it, but we are not living it. We need to live in today, now. So many people are distressed and depressed over sitting and worrying and wondering about the past. And why can't it be like it was before? And we need to understand that the year is 2021, and that's the time we need to live in. Yes, some things will be different, but we need to live in the now. The people of Israel understood, you know, they particularly older people, people like me are looking back and saying, you know, I used to live in Jerusalem and it was so this and that's home and all this. But right now God has them in Babylon, and that's where they're going to be. And they need to remember, we have to live in the now. And we also have to take care of ourselves. We can't sit and with this fatalistic mentality that times are bad, so there's nothing we can do about it. We need to be about something. In the days of Paul in the early church, there were people that came to the church and Paul had to tell them, he said, you're living idle. He said, you're just wandering around doing nothing. He said, Jesus is coming back, so we don't need to do anything. And he told them very clearly, he said, get busy, because when you're not busy, you become busybodies. Young people, you should be preparing yourself for taking care of yourself. In fact, this is where the famous scripture where Paul says, if a man is not to work, he's not to eat. Because others were sitting around just expecting everyone to take care of them, trying to pretend to be spiritual. Well, I don't care about material things. I'll just sit back and wait for Jesus to come. But he says, build your houses, plant your gardens, have sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. You're in Babylon, and this is where you're going to be for a time. Live as you understand that truth and reality of your life. So the first thing he says, live your lives. Second thing, verse 7. He says, also seek the peace and prosperity of this city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now keep in mind, they're living in Babylon. In Babylon, the most wicked of cities around. The counter to Jerusalem, the godly city, was the ungodly place known as Babylon. And he's telling them to do this. First of all, seek the peace and prosperity of the nation. You should be a part of the solution as much as you are possible, as possible with you. Seek to do good. Seek peace in this time in your life where you are right now. Seek prosperity for the nation. Work and be a part of the solution. This week, I'm afraid, over our cities, with these trials going on, we're going to see incredible violence in our streets in some major cities around our country. We need to be seekers of peace and prosperity in the land. And then he says, in addition to seeking, he says to pray for this prosperity and the peace of your land. Why? Because the peace that's there will be your peace. This is where you are. The prosperity of the land will be your prosperity. This is where you are. Pray for Babylon, the wicked nation. I want to ask you to think about this. The president or the governor or the Congress, the leaders of our nation, are you praying for them? There are many people who are distressed over the election. Others are excited about the election. No matter who the president is, no matter who the governor is, the Congress, we need to be praying for these men and women who lead us. Pray for the incredibly difficult decisions that come across their desk every day, but also pray that God will give them a conviction of righteousness, that he will see what they should be doing. Pray for our nation. He says, seek the peace and prosperity, but also pray for the peace and prosperity of the nation. Because the peace that is there is the peace that you will live in. This is where you are. We can talk about the past, think about the past, remember the old days, all this. Where are we right now? The peace, the prosperity that we experience in this time is the peace and prosperity that you and I as individuals will see in this time. Pray for our nation. Verse 8 and 9, he goes on. So first of all, he says, live your lives. Do the things you're supposed to do. Secondly, seek and pray for the prosperity and peace of the nation. Verse 8 and 9 goes on to the next point. He says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is a difficult situation, because if you go and listen to preachers, there are some that you'll listen to and you think they sound just wonderful and godly and you're all excited, and then you realize everything they prophesied didn't happen.
You know, the scripture tells us that the judgment of a prophet is whether or not what he says is true. If somebody's claiming to be a prophet, said, God told me this. Well, if God told you, then it's going to happen. And there were people prophesying all kinds of things along our internet, social media that did not happen. And they're still rambling on, and people are listening to them. We need to remember and be careful. I tell my church when I preach, I said, I need you to understand I'm not a prophet. And the only prophecy I have is the Word of God. And if I ever say anything to you that contradicts that, you listen to the Word of God. And when the Scripture speaks and speaks loud, the Word of God, we have it in completion. We need to understand what God is doing in the land. And it's bigger than me. He said, be careful of those preachers that say they have dreams and visions that you want to hear. Oh yeah, I want to hear that. So I'm going to listen to this guy or this gal because he or she is saying the things that my itching ears want to hear. Remember, Paul warned Timothy, be careful. Some are going to come and they're going to say exactly what that people's itching ears want to hear. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 28, in verse 2, he says, this is what the Lord says, the Lord Almighty. Excuse me, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to the place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to the place where Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. This was a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. And he said, God's going to bring y'all back to Jerusalem in 2 years. And everybody was all excited. All right, this is where I want to be. I want to be back where I was, and God's going to fix it. And once again, you can't believe your way out of something you've behaved yourself into. God's judgment had come. He said it was going to be 70 years under the prophet Jeremiah. And there were people saying, no, don't listen to that bad news, that old gloom and doom guy. And they began to say what the people wanted to hear. There are prophets and teachers and preachers that will say, sin doesn't exist. God loves you, so however you want to act is okay. He says, do not listen to those who have the dreams and the encouragement and the visions that you simply want to hear, rather than hearing the Word of God. We need to be careful to listen to the true Word of God and not to what it is our ears may want to hear for our particular moment. So the first thing he says, live your lives. Second thing is, be careful, to seek God, to pray and seek the goodness and the peace and prosperity of the nation. The third thing he says, be careful who you listen to. Make sure that it's the Word of God and not the word that you just want to hear. And the fourth thing is in verse 10. This is what the Lord says. Remember, this is Jeremiah's letter. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to you to bring you back to this place. Now, I want you to do a little math this morning. Think about how old you are and add 70 to that. How old will you be at that point? Most of us won't be here in 70 years. The judgment of God in the people of Israel was for a generation. They weren't going to see Jerusalem again. They had to rest in the peace that God was in control. We need to trust God and His plan and the effect that it will have on the gospel message for all people. The people that were only the very, very young would have any hope of really ever going back to Jerusalem and being and seeing the things that they were hoping for, which was the restoration of Jerusalem. When we look at this situation, we're reminded, when we quote Jeremiah 29:11, we're reminded that this prophecy, this idea, this hope is something that is a reminder to us that God is bigger than our own individual needs and desires. In 70 years, I'm probably not going to be on the earth. And so this is, I need to understand that God's plan is not just about me, which brings us to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." I want to stop there and think about Jeremiah's words. "I know the plans I have for you" is something we've said over and over again to young people in youth seminars. And we look at it like this: the plans for you. And that's not what God is saying at all. We have a little difficulty with this word "you" in English because it's singular and plural. We like to say in the South, "y'all." This is the plural word "you." And so for years we've been saying this all wrong. "I know the plans I have for you" to individuals. "I know the plans I have for you," pointing them out into situations here and there to encourage and talk about prosperity and abundance and all of these things. In the Spanish, though, it's the word "ustedes," which is the plural "you." Like in the South, we say "y'all." "I know the plans I have for you all, y'all." The church, Israel, not me individually. We're reminded by this truth that it's not my plan, it's God's plan. So when we send kids off to college and give them, write this down on this card we send them, or say this to them as they depart, we need to emphasize the plans I have, God is saying, for you, you all. Most languages have an identity of singular and plural of "you." English struggles with that. But the word here is the plural "you." I have plans for you all. The second thing we're reminded is, it's not just my plan, but it's a group plan. And he adds an addition to what this group plan is about in verse 12 and 13, which we conveniently leave out when we say this in our encouragement to people. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Once again, remember, you cannot believe your way out of something you've behaved yourself into. He's not using the verse 29:11 to say, "I'm here to encourage you and lift you up, and you keep living like the devil." He says, "When you do this, you'll find me." He says, "When you do this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel tells of a time when God says to the people, you had a heart of stone. "And so I wrote the law of God on the stone and I passed it down to Moses. But I'm going to write that law on your heart and give you a heart of flesh. And it, in the kingdom, it will be so innate in you, so natural to you, you won't even have to think about it. And that's my long-term goal for my people." Here in Jeremiah, he's saying to the people, "You're in Babylon for your disobedience. And I'm going to bring you back and give you a heart of flesh and write on your heart my law." Verse 14 says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place for which I carried you into exile. I want you to ask yourself today, do you feel like you're living in Babylon in modern day America? Do you feel like you're a stranger in this place sometimes because of the absurdities we're hearing all around us of what's right and what's wrong. God tells us, in living in a world that has rejected the truth. And folks, if you don't believe the world has rejected the truth, first of all, look at the world. And secondly, look at the Word of God. The Scripture tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. That's why we needed a Savior. And He's saying to the church, to His people, not to individuals, but individuals as a large group. He's saying to them, in the midst of that, build your houses, plant your gardens, live your lives. Live in the today, wherever that is. Pray for your nation and seek its peace and prosperity. And He says, be careful who you listen to. And make sure that what they're saying is in line with the Word of God. And then He says, remember, my plan is a group plan. It's about my people drawing to the time of my return and preparing our hearts for that. Let us pray. Listen to the words of Jeremiah with every head bowed. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Father, we praise you for the promise that even in living in Babylon, even in living in a world that has rejected you, that we can be a shining light as you called us to be, the city on the hill, the light that's not hidden behind the bushel. Lord, that we'll have a desire to be everything you've called us to be, even living in exile in this world, from the place our hearts desire to be, which is with you. So I pray today, Lord, that we will be reminded that you have plans for us as a people, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. But that future and that hope, Lord, we praise you because it is with the glorious return of Christ, with the promise of heaven rejoicing for eternity. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and to your glory. Amen.
Morning, I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you painted for me. A love letter in the sky. Story, I could have had a really different story. When you came down from heaven to restore me, forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. More mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song my heart keeps singing. Oh, what a song. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Nobody loves me like you.
Let us pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you that nobody loves us like you do. We thank you for the love that you have shown for us. We thank you for these men that bring their musical talents to bring glory to you. And we pray, Father, as we go out into this place, this city, this town, we will be, as Peter said, always ready to speak of the hope that we have in you and to do it with gentleness and respect. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for us as individuals shining your light in this nation and in this state and city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.